Welcome to Focus Carolina, an exclusive program sponsored by the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Provost Bob Lewin, and I'm excited to share this series of interviews with our Carolina faculty here on WCHL. At the Gilling School of Global Public Health, Dr. Kurt Ribisol researches how to reduce youth and adult tobacco use. He studies how cigarettes and e-cigarettes are marketed in stores and on the internet. He also co-leads the Cancer Prevention and Control Program at the UNC Lineberger Comprehensive Cancer Center.
In some ways, the tobacco business is still booming. Dr. Ribisol studies the latest trends and findings.
So the good news is that cigarette smoking is at the lowest recorded level for both youth and adults. And this is really the work of tobacco control programs. And these tobacco control programs have prevented 8 million premature deaths since 1964. So this is just a fantastic success story. Right now, we're concerned about the rise of e-cigarettes and vaping. This is something that's happened in the last 5 years. We're seeing now that more kids in high school are vaping or using an e-cigarette than are smoking a cigarette. So this is probably one of the most interesting areas that we're now looking at, is how to address this issue of vaping. Another area that's interesting in tobacco control, I would say, is the retail environment or the store environment where cigarettes are sold. And they're sold at gas stations, convenience stores, some pharmacies. And for 20 years, the main thing you're doing at stores was focusing on just not selling to children. So let's do a good job of verifying age and identity of the buyer. Also, there were some excise taxes that we know that were applied, and those reduced smoking. But now we're seeing a lot of really innovative ways of regulating the way that cigarettes are sold in the U.S. So San Francisco, for instance, just recently put a cap on the number of tobacco retailers. They have 45 retailers per supervisorial district, and they're not allowing any new ones to open or get a permit until the existing ones go out of business or don't renew their license. And in some cases, they have over 100 in these districts, and so it's going to be a while before they have any new retailers. Over a dozen states have Tobacco 21, where you have to be at least 21 or older to buy cigarettes and e-cigarettes and other products. Most places that have been age 18, so they're raising that up. I would also say Chicago, Minneapolis are restricting menthol products. Newport's a major menthol brand. And so there's been concern over some of these flavors and additives in cigarettes. So I think we're seeing a lot of really interesting innovation at the local level for how to regulate cigarettes with the ultimate goal of reducing youth and adult smoking and tobacco use.
The U.S. was the first country to put warning labels on cigarette packs in 1960, but did not update them until 1984. However, imaging on U.S. packs is still tame compared to those found in Europe.
So people who have traveled overseas have seen different cigarette warnings than we have in the U.S. And so those warnings depict like diseased lungs and hearts and so forth. And these pictorial or picture-based warnings are much more effective than the text warnings, which in the U.S. appear on the side of the pack. That's a small Surgeon General's warning. And in fact, we're tied for having the worst warnings in the world. One of the key things that we'd like to see the U.S. Food and Drug Administration do is implement graphic pictorial warnings on cigarette packs. We've done a couple of studies where we've looked at countries that have done this, and we find that it reduces the smoking rates and people quit more often as a result of these warnings. We also did an experimental study here led by Dr. Noel Brewer in the School of Public Health. And what he did is he labeled people with these warnings similar to ones that are used in other countries, and half of the people got those warnings and half had the normal Surgeon General's warning, and those pictorial warnings caused people to quit more often. And so we think that they have great potential, and it's a relatively cheap and low-cost policy for the U.S. government to implement.
Dr. Ribisol also co-leads the Cancer Prevention and Control Program at UNC's Lineberger Comprehensive Cancer Center.
We have over 55 faculty in our group, and they specialize in oncology, social and behavioral sciences, communication, health policy, and we work on ways of preventing cancer, doing a better job of screening for cancers, and if people have cancer, how to promote better survivorship. It's a fantastic interdisciplinary group that we've got here at the Cancer Center. We're doing work all over the state of North Carolina, really from the mountains to the coast. In eastern North Carolina, we're doing work. We're constantly testing new interventions that will promote breast cancer and colon cancer screening. We're trying to promote HPV vaccination, reduce obesity, and also to preventing smoking and other tobacco use. So these are a number of the things that we're doing to reduce the cancer burden in North Carolina.
Thank you for listening to Focus Carolina, sponsored by the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. To hear more interviews, visit chapelboro.com and click on WCHL On Demand or visit unc.edu.